Okay, Mitzvah, we have to go, we middle the Rashi. So let's just read the Pesukim very quickly. We did yesterday, Leman Yecholson Yidecho, Hoshim and Chavaneinim, page 524, 526. Leman Yecholson Yidecho, Hoshim and Chavaneini. And then we learned that Lakim Dibi Bekosha, Hashem has spoken Bekosha with Ruach HaKodesh, has spoken through his prophets with Ruach HaKodesh, that I, David, will be the king, that I will Eloiza, I will rejoice in my Malchus. Achalakos Shechem, I will divide up the spoils of war and give out portions of land that I conquer from our enemy, the Umos Olam. I will divide up the Emek and the Emek Sukkos Amadeid. And this was a place, obviously, in the time of David. David went to war. There was some place, Rashi says, I don't know where it is. I don't know where this location is. And there's a place called the Valley of Sukkos, and I will divide up and give it out to my people. And then David says that in my lifetime, before the split of the Malchus, Li Gilad, Li Menashe, the Ephraim, the territory of Ephraim, Me'oz Roshi, is the strength of my head, of my power, and I will fight for Rashi. Mesuda says, I'm going to fight hard for it. I'm going to fight to make sure that it remains in our possession. And Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, or the portion of the land of Yehuda, Mechoy Kiki, they are my people, they are the lawgivers. And in this context, it means they are the princes. Then Rashi told us that this pasuk also can be interpreted in reference to Yemois HaMashiach, not necessarily only in the lifetime of David, but also refers to a prophecy of what will occur in the time of the Geula, Hoasida, the future redemption. And he's describing different events that we really, because it's prophecy, it's not clear exactly what it means. The only thing that Rashi did tell us, did make a parallel, is that just like at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we went from Ramses to Sukkosa. The first journey was Ramses to Sukkosa. Likewise, in the time of Mashiach, there's also going to be the Emek Sukkos Amadeit. What does that mean exactly? Rashi didn't tell us either. We're in the middle of Rashi's. So let's take a look over here a little bit. Rashi explains a little bit more. Let's read, we're on page 526. Let's look on the right side, the right column, where he says, we're up to is Achaluka Shechem. Okay, Achaluka, that's exactly where we're up to. Achaluka Shechem, Achazilchem Nachlas Yaakov Avihem. I will divide the portion. Rashi learns, I will restore to them the inheritance of Yaakov Avihem. So Shechem is a portion, and the portion that we are referring to is Eretz Yisrael, and Rashi learns it will be returned. This is very different than what the Mitzudas David said. He learned that David's going to conquer territory outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to divide up the spoils of war. As we know that David did fight Tzoiva, Aram Tzoiva. It's interesting over here that the Mizmor, a lot of things are now coming together. Because the Mizmor in the beginning, going back to page 520, this began to talk about Behatsoisoi es Aram Naharayim, the es Aram Tzoiva. And everyone knows, every couple of Daf and Shas, we learn about Kibush Yochid. Kibush Yochid Shmei Kibush or Kibush Yochid Loishma Kibush. What is an example of what is Kibush Yochid? Territory that's not part of Eretz Yisrael. But it was conquered and was annexed to Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, does that have the same sanctity? It's a kibush of Yochid. Only David on his own, for his political needs, he conquered an additional territory of land. And it's interesting over here that it says Achalka Shechem, and this section over here that we're talking about over here of dividing, giving more property. Well, the beginning of the Mizmor does talk about David conquering new territory. Yet, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi learns over here, he does not talk about, the Mitzudas said that David's going to conquer new territory, and he's going to give it to the Klal Yisrael. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Achal Tashchem means, Achazir Lecham, I'm going to restore the primary Eretz Yisrael itself. Avihem of their father. Where does the word, why do you get the word Avihem? I guess maybe because Yaakov used those words when it came to Ephraim and Menashe, that Shechem Achad Alachecha. Shechem Achad Alachecha, that same expression of a Shechem was used by Yaakov. When you see the word Shechem, you are you're coming to, you know, to remind, to awaken the image of Yaakov Avinu. Our next Rashi, the Emek Sukkos Amadeit, Kish Achal Keu Yisrael Shechem, when I the Sukkos, B'Ktzei Eretz Kenan. Wait a minute, I'm making a mistake of it. I think over here, what do you mean, Achal Keu Shechem? I think what do you mean, like, this is, I mean, Shechem means the city of Shechem. Okay, where was Shechem? All the bad things happened in Shechem. Shechem is where the Maisa Dina. And Shechem is where the brothers sold. They sold Yosef. Okay, what else is the man? What else happened there? And what else happened in Shechem?
As my Rebbe said, it's a place of machlokes.
Okay, what other machlokes happened there in Shechem?
This is it says that the fish
there. They're right Shechem in Shechem. Shechem is the place of murder. It's not a good place.
Even,
nothing has changed today. Today it's a real hotbed of terrorism. Shechem, it's a very dangerous place.
But the interesting thing, and this is unique, is he took a compass, and put one end, he marked Dun and Beersheba, and then he bisected, you know, like you used to do in school, he bisected that line, and it comes out Shechem.
Don at Beersheba. So it's between. It's a center. It's a focal point. It's a
place of a schism, a split.
Uh huh. It's in the middle. It's center. All right. So it seems over here I made a mistake. I told you where Shechem means a portion of here. See that Rashi knows where Shechem over here means the actual city of Shechem. The actual city of Shechem. Yaakov says when the Mashiach will come, I will return it to Klal Yisrael. Achazir lechem nachlas Yaakov aviyem. The emek sukkos amadeit kishachalkeu liyisrael shechem v'sukkos. On page 526 in Rashi, in the left column on the top of Rashi, when I divide for Yisrael shechem v'sukkos b'ktzei eretz kenan hoyu. They were towards the edge. K'moshe mutzin b'tchilas biyasa shel Yaakov l'oretz derech sukkos u'shechem. We have to go back to the Chumash. When Yaakov came into Eretz Yisrael, the first place that we find that he resided, he made sukkos. Yaakov, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, he ulemekneu also sukkos al kain kara shma sukkos. He called the place sukkos.
And that's why sukkos is associated. Each of the shalosh v'golim are associated with one of the avos.
So Yaakov is sukkos because yes. Yaakov called the place ulemekneu also sukkos. Okay, so now is this Sukkos, obviously this Sukkos is not the same Sukkos as in Mitzrayim. They went from Ramses to Sukkos. It's a different Sukkos. And that's what the first Rashi, the previous one we learned yesterday, Rashi, if only I knew, Lu Yodati, Sukkos, Sheba'u lo Yisrael, Kishinosu Yisrael Miramses, Hechonhu, if only I knew the location of this place called Sukkos, that was the first stop on the journey of Klal Yisrael when they left Egypt from Ramses. Then Hayisi Mefarish Hadavar, I'll be able to know what I'm talking about over here, but I don't know where it is. Now we go to a new Rashi. Rashi over here, obviously, you see over here, that's why there's something Girsos in Rashi. Rashi over here seems to say we're not talking about the Sukkos in Egypt or on the outside of Egypt, we're talking about Sukkos in Eretz Yisrael. It cannot possibly be the same Sukkos. It has to be a different Sukkos. They didn't come into Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says there was when Yaakov, when he returned, when he was with Laban for 20, he was away from his father for 22 years, and now he is returning. And when he comes, he was for 34 years. He went away to learn for 14 years, and then he was 20 years plus 2 years, and now he's coming back. And the first thing he did, and then as he crossed the border, as he crossed over the border from Mexico to Arizona, and I was just joking, as he crossed the border, who did he come and see? As he crossed the border, what did he encounter? The Sar Shel Esav. Vayeovik Ish Imoy Ad Aloy Sashochar. He prevailed, and the next day he was Vihitzle Al Yerechoy, and his first stop was Sukkos, and in Sukkos he set up shop for his animals, and he called it Sukkos. So we see that the first entry location into Eretz Yisrael is Sukkos. Isn't it interesting? The first exit, the first stop when you leave Egypt is Sukkos, and the first city when you enter into Eretz Yisrael is called Sukkos. Haloi Davar? Obviously, there's something over here very interesting. So we have over here two different exit point and entrance point. They're both called Sukkos. Okay, and Sukkos u'Shechem. And where do you find Shechem? I think Yaakov, even you find by Avraham, it says there also Shechem in the pasuk. I'm not sure. I have to go back to the pasuk.
Yeah, but you go Yaakov Sholem Yerushchem.
Ir Shechem. Oh, so he came to Shechem also fine.
Later,
okay, but that doesn't tell us that was the edge. So he's saying that once you know that Shechem is on the boundary, so they would, that's why it was very easy from there to go straight to Egypt, because that was along the edge of Eretz Yisrael. He's saying Shechem is along the edge of Eretz Yisrael. Davar Acher, the Emek Sukkos Amadet Sukkos L'shoin Tzurois. It does. Sukkos here means it means commercial number S sikus ani amadeid es tsurasam. It means an image. It means a form. Ani moideid es tsurasam commercial number shnei chavolim luhamis umuloy hachavol hachayos. This talks about when they kill the children, the descendants of Shaul. When they kill the descendants of Shaul, so the Polishtim and the Gitim, Noiv Irakai, the Maestri with Noiv Irakai Hanim. Shaul gave the command that they should kill the city of Noiv Ir Hakai Hanim. What was the consequence of that? That the people, the Kananim, they lost their Parnasa. It's the worst thing you can do to a person. The worst thing you can do to a person in this world, and the best thing you can do to a person in this world is to ruin their parnasa or to give them a job. Okay, I always tell you, Avigdor Miller says, define a friend. What is a real friend? A real friend is a person who teaches you how to make money, or someone who gives you a job. That's what's called a real friend. So, what happened when Shaul killed the city of Noiv Ir HaKohanim, the Goyim, the Kananim, I think it was the Gitim, Gas, they lost their Parnasa because they were suppliers of water and wood, fuel, okay, Shoive, water and fuel, food and energy. They supplied food, and now that there was no one there in the city, they were all dead, they were all killed, they lost their job, they had to the pipeline, right? They shut down the pipeline. That was one of the first things that Biden did when he became president. 10,000 people lost their job overnight. Okay, they were building this pipeline, and that's it. He shut down the pipeline, and 10,000 people lost their job just like that. Right. And that's exactly what Shaul did to the Noiv Ir HaKohanim. He killed them all, and all these people that were suppliers lost their job. And they never forgave Shaul, and they demanded that the descendants of Shaul be given over to them to be killed as revenge. And David, this is one of probably the most difficult section of the whole Tanakh. And they were Shoyal, Ruach HaKodesh, should they do it? And the answer was, yeah. And Hashem said, give them over. And they were killed and they were hung up. I mean, the thing is so bizarre. It's so difficult to comprehend what's going on over there, but that's what it says. So here in that context, it says, and when they talk about death, you have this in the Kinnas also, they talk about ropes. Shnei chavolim lohamis umuloya chavol lahachayos. Two ropes to die and one rope to live. Okay, I didn't prepare, I was lazy, I didn't go look up the psukim to prepare this in detail, but it's an expression that's used in reference to like a lottery almost. It has different meanings, different contexts. You have this in the Kinos. In the Kinos, when Titus, he murdered all the Jews in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gadam, it says they extended a rope of something similar to this. And there it's very difficult. What does a rope mean have to do with murder? Is it a lottery? Who gets to live, who gets to die? They have lotteries with ropes, or does it mean it's a measure?
Are you saying it's like drawing straws?
Something like that, yeah. There are many interpretations. Unfortunately,
so
I didn't.
The long one is one thing, and the short one are other things.
I think that's one interpretation. That there are two ropes. The one that picks up the longer rope, either lives or dies. The one that's like you pick straws. You pick straws, or it means. Okay, I don't know. Miritz Hashem, we're gonna have to come back to this and define this exactly. But what does it mean over here? Going back to the context of our pasuk, he's saying.
Interesting though, with rope is that the Chofetz Chaim said that the end of days there's going to be a rope that stretched from one end of the world to the other, and it's going to be shaken very vigorously, and therefore hold on
tight to the rope.
Hold on. And there's a sefer written. The name of the sefer is called Hold On. Written by, was it Newberger or something like that? Yeah.
Hold Interesting. On. I never heard that before. All right. And there are a lot of things I don't know.
That's a rope.
So here Rashi is learning the Amek of Sukkos Amadeid. He's teaching over here. Go back to the words one more time. The Amek of Amadeid, Sukkos L'shoin Tzurois. It means an image. It means the image of Sukkos. And the amadeid means I will measure. So he's like saying that I'm going to decide who's going to live, who's going to die. I'm not really sure. Let's go one more time. Davar emek sukkos amadeid. Sukkos l'shoin tzurois udemuyos. Images. K'may shenema. Es sikkos. Sikkos there means the form. Amadeid. Ani moideid es surasam. I will decide mi yichye u mi yomos. Rashi seems to look over here and say, I'm going to go to battle, I'm going to conquer my enemies, and then I'm going to figure out what to do with them. I'm going to decide then, basically, who I'm going to let live, who I'm going to kill. We're going to have a trial, we're going to have a grand jury to make some tough decisions over here. What? There's only one person smirking. We're going to have to go make some big decisions over here. What to do with my enemies? That's the Amek. What does the Amek mean? What do you mean? What does it mean, the Amek?
It reminds me of Yaakov. It says, Rashi says, because Hebron was not there. So here he connects Emek and Shem again.
Emek, say it again, the Emek Chevron. Okay, the Emek Chevron. Vayavo Shema. That's where it says.
That's what it says there in the Torah.
The word Emek. It says Emek by Shem? Okay, I don't remember. Okay. So over here, he's saying over here some ideas that I will rejoice, I'm going to go to battle. Hashem has spoken to Kashoy, Eloizo, I will rejoice in my success. Achalkos Shechem, I'm going to divide up the spoils of war. I'm going to divide up the land of Shechem. And I'm going to basically take out all the people in Shechem, all of the terrorists in Shechem. I'm going to study them. I'm going to study their tzura, their image. Okay, I'm going to study their who they are, their actions, their behavior. And I will then decide what to do with them. Who will live, who will die, who will, Amadeid means to measure their retribution, their punishment.
Midas Hadin.
Right, Midas Hadin. That's the gist. Now, where do you get the word Emek? Emek means, I guess, the depth of judgment. The depth of judgment of the Sukkos of their form. Meaning, who are you? What have you done? What are you going to do? The whole essence of the person, the tzura of the person, the midos. Sometimes the word the tzura means the midos. You have a famous Gemara Moed Katan where one of the children, I remember the details, but one that they were, there was an Amorayim, and their children were departing, and the father told his children, go get a baracha from this person. Or these people, they're anshei tzura. They are people of form, a tzura, image.
And then,
so there in that context, what does it mean? It means these are dignified people, people who have made something out of themselves.
Prominent people.
prominent people, but why are they called Anshei Tzura? Every person that comes into this world is raw matter, is a golem, is just Play-Doh. And a person in his life, he refines his midos, and he gives his neshama tzura form by learning Torah, by doing mitzvahs, by learning Musar. Mainly, the word tzura really more than anything else refers to Musar. Musar, discipline, behavior. And he told his children, these people are Anshei Tzura. Go to them for a bracha. You see over here that the Iker bracha you get from a person, it's a very derech agav. You see from that Gemara, who do you go to get a bracha? So people, they go, I'm going to go to these big Gedolei Yisrael, what are they known for? So the big Talmidei Chachamim, wrong. That's not the people you should get a bracha from. You get a bracha from Bali Musa. People who are you know, big heads, and they know Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, that's just a stepping stone to have they taken all the Torah and become Balei Musar. Where do you find in the Gemara getting a bracha? This Gemara, Moed Katan, is the Gemara telling you, go to them for a blessing, because these are people of Tzura, of form. And the Mefarshim, the Ataych, what does it mean, Tzura? It basically means they're Balei Musar. They're people of discipline. They have molded their neshama, just absorbing knowledge and being a Talmud Chacham and knowing Kol HaTorah Kula. Okay, that's very, very nice. You know, Kol HaTorah Kula. You filled up your head. How has it changed you? How has it affected your behavior, your outlook? Tzura has a flavor that you've taken the Torah and you've molded your neshama in the knowledge that you have accumulated. It's not just your head is not a depository for knowledge. It actually caused your neshama to take on a new form of behavior. That Gemara, you learn that the people that you go to get a bracha are the people who are the Balei Musar, not necessarily the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. And today people have this attitude is that if you're a Talmud Chacham, you have everything. If you're a Talmud Chacham, you're a Bal Musar. If you're Talmud Chacham, you're a Gvir. If you're Talmud Chacham, you're street smart. Doesn't go like that. Just because you're Talmud Chacham doesn't mean you're street smart. Doesn't mean that you're a Gvir. Doesn't mean that you can give good advice. You can go give advice on Shalom Bayis and Chinuch Habanim. It means nothing. Very good. You have a good head. You're Oitzra Chachma, a living Oitzra Chachma. Nu, doesn't mean anything. What about the Midos? What about the discipline? Go look at some. What when they come to davening on time, they come early. You can learn an infinite amount about a person, how they daven. A bachar, he has someone in shidduchim, a boy in shidduchim. You want to know everything about him? Go watch him daven.
Spot when he comes.
Go watch what time he comes to davening. Where he davens, when he comes to davening, how he davens, how he leaves davening. Watch how he leaves. How davening is he already taking off his tefillin and chazaras hashatz to get out of there, or he keeps tefillin on to the very end. And you can learn an infinite amount of just observing a person, their conduct in tefillah. That's called the Baal Tzura. Is he the biggest Talmud Chacham? Okay, that is also, you know, to be a smart Talmud Chacham is also very important. But the Gemara talks about getting a brach from Anshei Tzura. David over here says the word sukkos. Sukkos, he takes the word of the different word of it's just the grammar we're playing with the nikud. It means he says here it means a tsurois, images, udimuyos, two words which mean the same thing in my limited vocabulary. And he quotes a passage from Amos, sikus, and in that context, sikus means a form, an image. So here he's saying I'm going to look at the depth of the sukkos of the form, the behavior of these criminals, of these chalarias that are found, these terrorists that are found crawling around in Shechem, and amadeid, I will decide, measure out punishment, what we're going to do with these people. And I think over here, Rashi, Derech Agav, is now telling us something very interesting of why the ropes. What are, in ancient times, what was the prize? I told you one pshat, which, like, lottery. Who's going to live, you know, we're going to kill certain people. We're not going to kill everyone, because we need there to be slaves. We need slave labor. So we'll decide, we'll make a girl who mi yichya mi yamas. That's one pshat. Yeah, you take like ropes. But another pshat is, what were ropes used for in ancient times? Measuring. They didn't have technology, they didn't have Google Maps. They measured territory with ropes. Tchom, 50 ropes of exactly 50 amas. Because if a rope is more than 50 amas, it's going to sag. If the rope is less than 50 amas, you're going to pull it too tight. It has to be, the ropes we used were exactly 50 amos. Those were the ropes. Ropes were used to measure, to survey, medida, measurement. So a chevel is equivalent to the word amadeit. And just like we find in Sefer Shmuel, there when David is deciding, when they're deciding mi yichye mi yamos, they're talking about making punishment, measuring, which means like you measure out punishment. Mida keneged mida, you did this, two sides of the scale. You did pull down this way, so we're going to pull down the scale this way. We're going to make a measure. Punishment is basically petza tachas potza. Okay, there's a measurement. So here as well, the emek, the depth of who these people really are, is going to be decided. And we're going to exercise punishment, retribution for their behavior. There's deep stuff here. Rashi over here is saying really heavy, heavy stuff. Very, very profound. Very deep, deep ideas. We do Rashi one more time. Just to summarize, Kishachalkei b'Yisrael Shechem b'Sukkos b'Kseir Yisrael Kanaan. They were b'Kseir Kanaan. Kavod Shemitzin b'Tchilas on the left side, the second line. Tchilas b'Yosah Shal Yaakov. There it's. Loretz, there sukkos Shechem, Dovar Acher, the third line, the emek sukkos amadeit, sukkos l'shoyim tzuros v'udimuyos, k'mo shenemar, es sikus, which means an image, amadeit, ani moideit es tzurosom, I will measure their form, which I'm loosely translating their behavior, their midos, their conduct, what have they done to us, and they will be punished accordingly. Like we find measurement by ropes, and in the context, what it says in Sefer Shmuel refers to punishment of death. Two ropes, and one rope, two-thirds will die, and one-third will live. A rope is an object of measurement, and punishment is a synonym measurement is a synonym for punishment. Punishment is a form of measuring what you exactly to get what you deserve. Next pasuk, Rashi li Gilad l'mloich aleihem. David says, Gilad is mine. Where does Eliyo Navi come from? Eliyo ha Giladi. Eliyo is not from Shevet Yehuda. David, he ne'anochi yishlochem eis Eliyo ha Navi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem. This is the age-old question. We want Mashiach now. Wait a minute. Before Mashiach comes, you have to have Eliyo coming up in 2 weeks. Or 1 week really. Hine anochi shalais Eliyo hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem. And what is yom Hashem? Melech Hamashiach. Malchusa da'ara ke'en malchusa d'rokia. The pasuk, this is the big topic of discussion. Who's going to come first? Is Eliyo Hanavi going to come first, or is Moshiach going to come first? The Pashtus, all of the basic sources indicate that Eliyohu will come first to prepare us for the Bias HaMashiach. Yet when we're in kindergarten, they don't talk about Eliyo. Eliyo, who's Eliyo? They talk about Mashiach. Mashiach can come, Kherif Ayin, the Shofar Shal Mashiach. The Chofetz Chaim was waiting with his suitcase, the Mashiach suitcase, for the Mashiach. They don't tell you in Cheder that the Chofetz Chaim was waiting with his suitcase to greet Eliyo HaNavi. But how could the Chofetz Chaim be waiting for Mashiach if Eliyo HaNavi didn't come yet? Hinei onochi shulech lechem eis Eliyo HaNavi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem.
So he'll announce the coming of Mashiach.
What?
He'll announce the coming of Mashiach.
It's a whole topic.
How much time do we need preparation?
Be
eat so 10:05, he'll come, and 10:10, Mashiach will be here.
Sounds like you need a lot more preparation than that. We don't know what it means. We don't know what it means. The Ram, we don't get involved in this.
The real arrival is Mashiach.
The goal, the end game is Mashiach.
The fact that Eliyahu will announce him, very nice. We need an announcer. we need an MC to announce him. But the main point is the Mashiach coming.
Okay.
He's waiting for Mashiach
coming. Gilad, when you say Gilad, it evokes...
You have what's called an advanced team.
An advanced team. I once saw a documentary when the President of the United States goes anywhere in the world, they send months in advance, or weeks in advance, they send an advanced team. You can't even imagine how much money this cost. Security. And they show all the things they do. They test even the gasoline, the fuel they put into the plane. Who says they're putting into the plane? They have to refuel. Air Force One lands somewhere. Easiest thing to go and to make trouble is they fill up the plane. And what do they fill it up with? Water. Instead of filling it with jet fuel, you fill it up with some, who knows, some polluted type of fuel, and that will cause sakana. They test everything they put in, every tank that gets fuel. They have a whole team just to test the gasoline, to go test the fuel. And that is the tip of the iceberg of how much taxpayer money goes into the advanced team. But Gilad Eliyahu, like he said, he's very good. Eliyahu, Melech HaMashiach, has an advanced team of one person, and that is Eliyahu Hanavi. Lifnei bo yoyim Hashem. And Eliyahu, we once learned not that long ago, go back all the sources, Eliyahu represents Emes. The whole Malchus of Eliyahu Hanavi, the whole essence of Eliyahu Hanavi is Emes. And in other words, when Mashiach comes, the first question, who says you're the Mashiach? Who says you are the Melech HaMashiach? Maybe you're a fraud. Maybe you're an imposter.
Who else is riding on a donkey nowadays?
Who says Eliyahu Hanavi? So the Drush, this is new to me, is the reason why Eliyahu Hanavi comes, lifted by Yom Hashem, what is he going to do, Eliyahu Hanavi? What's the purpose? What exactly is his role?
The questions.
What?
He'll answer all the questions.
So you answer all the questions. Why is it so important to answer all the questions? I think the questions we have are so big, even though you won't be able to answer. But what exactly is this role? I mean, what is his main role? So we learned this together not that long ago.
Mara says at the end of Kedushin, his role is to say who's a Jew and who's not.
Who's a Jew and who's not? That's the Sanhedrin. The Lishka Sagozis.
It's not going to be like what we keep thinking about Shilas, that it's going to be who's really a Jew and who's not.
That's what the Sanhedrin, the Lishka Sagozis, occupy themselves most of the time.
Ezra was concerned about it, so never gets into that topic.
Okay, but there's another element, and that is Eliyahu Hanavi is coming to be to teach the world Emes, to teach the world the truth, the midah of Emes. We live in a world, Chazal says, Hashem made the world Alma de Shikra. It's probably, I don't know, but we live in a world today, it's mamish, it's an Oilam Hafach in so many different ways of Ebes and Sheker and corruption and hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is beyond belief. With the age of communication and age of information where everything is available, and probably this has been going on forever. Probably the Sheker has been going on since creation, but I guess today, because we live in the age of information, every single yukul has in his pocket a device where he has access literally to the entire world, just people, just the amount of information that's flowing, the giloy of hypocrisy, there's always been hypocrisy, nothing has really changed, but the revelation of hypocrisy, the revelation is beyond belief. And when the Melech HaMashiach is going to come, they'll say, Melech HaMashiach, who's Melech HaMashiach? Is he a Republican or Democrat? Is he a conservative? Is he Jew? Is he not a Jew? Is he a Hasid? Right away, you're biased. Right away, he's a Litvak.
What kind of a hat or yarmulke?
Exactly. So right away, there's a bias. There is a bias. And the bias distorts the MS. People are so biased. You can show someone mamish the MS lamitoi, and if there's one little prat that is not part of you, that person's ideology, no, it's sheker v'chasav. Everything is, you're blinded. Eliyahu, so the Mashiach will come. Who's going to mekabel him? He's not going to be, how is he going to be acceptable to everyone? Well,
it's never been an easy job.
Well, if the world is trained to be makir emes, and to be able to put aside their biases and all the things that influence them, then when Mashiach will come, then he'll be accepted. The world needs to be makir emes before Mashiach can come. And here it says li gilad. Gilad is always a code word for Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaGiladi. Eliyahu has a very complicated yichus. He comes from many different shvatim.
That's the shaila. The kohen is not a
kohen. This one, that one, you have to reconcile all of the different psukim, amore chazal, exactly. Eliyahu, forget about Mashiach. Eliyahu, who is Eliyahu? But one thing that is very significant is Giladi, Eliyahu HaGiladi, Gilad. So David says, Li Gilad. Li Gilad was saying, Dush is Eliyahu is on my team. Li Gilad. Eliyahu the Giladi, he's with me. I'm David. David is saying, I'm Melech HaMashiach. I'm the Melech HaMashiach, or my descendants are the Melech HaMashiach. And my team, Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem, is Eliyahu HaGiladi. He's going to be at my side to be Mevarer, the MS, that I am indeed the true Messiah. I'm not a Frankist. I'm not a Sabbatian. I'm not the whole long list of the false messiahs.
St. Moses is Gal-Aid.
What? Gal-Aid. Gal-Aid. You're saying very good. Gal-Aid. You're saying very good of it. You see, look what you just said. You didn't realize that. Li Gilad, it goes back to the beginning of the Mizmar. The beginning of the Mizmar is Aram Naharayim, and the Targum says Yigar Soadusa, Galeid. And here he says Li Gilad. Gilad is Galeid. Galeid. Excellent. Very good. You're saying very Bechidushim here. Gilad, there's obviously a correlation between Gilad and the beginning of the Mizmar of Aram Naharayim, which says in the Targum is Yigar Soadusa, which was the Aramaic word for Galeid. And here, Li Gilad. David is now maybe coming another derech is coming to justify. He feels the guilt. We're going to war against Aram Naharayim. Oh, but I made a covenant. Yaakov made a covenant. David is saying, Li Gilad, I did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. Li Gilad. Li Galeid.
It's the same story that happened with Yiftach
HaGiladi also.
Yiftach HaGiladi. So Bnei Amun wanted to Kabash Yisrael et Arsi. So man, no, it's mine. What did he says here? Ligila. It belongs to me.
It belongs to
me. Et asher yorishcha el kmo shel orecha oto tirash. Et asher horish Hashem lokeinu lanu oto nirash. That's ours. He says the same thing. Ligila.
Supposed to be Rashi, Ligila Lim Loichalim, Pashup Shah, Rashi and Pashat Lim Loichalim to rule over them, and Michaikim, my lawgivers, Sodim Shali. Michaikim, the word Michaikim is Lashoin Sorus. It means authority. Shem Michaikim, Vishalech, Safadim, Mitzadeh, he etches in, I guess, you know, it means to write on a tablet of wax. Vishaleach Sephardim Mitzvah, and he sends books and he gives commandments. Kamolo Yosur Shev Mihuda Umichaykek Mibein Raglav. A rod will not leave Yehuda Umichaykek. So he sees over here, Rashi learns that he's really drawing from the fact that the Michaykek Mibein Raglav, the Malchus belongs to me. The Malchus Umichaykek, he's coming to take that post that the Malchus may never leave Shevet Yehuda. He's looting over here to the seal. He's looking over to the Chanukah miracle. This whole Mizmar is a Mizmar about Purim, Shushan. We never did Yedachem Sanach. And here he talks about the most controversial topic of the Chanukah miracle. Who was the king? Who were the people that were calling the shots? The Chashmonoim. And the Chashmonoim were from Shevet Levi. And they seized the Malchus. They were the leaders of the Jewish people calling the shots when the Pasuk says Beferish Lo Yosur Shevet Mihudu Michaikek Mibein Raglav. And this is the old controversial topic is how come there is no Masechta Chanukah? So this is a controversial topic is because Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not want to give too much legitimacy to the Chanukah miracle because it was done in violation, it was achieved through the violation of a malchus that was a stolen malchus. the Malchus belongs to, the leadership belongs to Shevet Yehuda. And maybe you'll say that there are all different spins on this. That during the time the complaint was they should have returned it after the miracle of Chanukah. It was only a temporary exception. There was no one else. Okay, all different. But the two rabbinic holidays that we celebrate with great celebration, Chanukah Upurim, are really violations of Kol HaTorah Kula, because Purim miracle, you're dealing with the worst thing possible, intermarriage. The worst thing possible. Can't get a bit worse than this. A nice Jewish girl is living with a guy. The whole miracle comes about through Esther, who's married. There's no bigger marriage than that. There's no greater... What? You can't what?
Teach it in Beis Yaakov.
Why can't you teach in Beis Yaakov? You're not just talking about, they're living, they're married quietly under the radar. No one even knows about this. We're dealing over here the ultimate royal wedding. Okay? The royal, who didn't watch Prince Charles and Princess Diana? Okay? So this was the royal wedding of the world. Ahasuerus, she ruled over the entire world, and he married his queen Esther, a nice Yiddish Beis Yaakov girl. This is shocking. This is the worst thing possible. Intermarriage on a grand scale like never seen before. I mean, it's utterly shocking. And you can't say that this did not contribute to the fact that the intermarriage rate, only 18 years later when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, Ezra, everyone here is intermarried. How did it happen in 70 years? Klal Yisrael has sunk to such a degree that the intermarriage rate was off the charts, and Ezra had to go and be mevarer who's who. Well, you can't ignore the fact that they had a very big role model of Esther, who was married to a guy.
Not by choice.
Okay, but not by choice. But listen, if the rabbis let it go on like this, so you see, it's not so bad. Oh, but it says in the Torah, you do everything. It says in Shulchan Aruch. Do you do everything? Do you talk during davening? Do you speak a little Lashon Hara here and there? You do everything, so you get into marriage also. What's the big deal? No, isn't this shocking? So the whole miracle of Purim is a miracle which we celebrate with great pride and joy and celebration, and it will never be bottled. And take a step back. What in the world is going on? This is a holiday you celebrate? If someone would try to make this holiday today, in the 21st century, they would be driven out of town so quickly. You want to come celebrate?
Well, it's the biggest question in the Gemara. So that's the
Karka Oilam. Yeah, there are a million answers.
No,
the bottom line is
that's the Chacham had a big problem with it.
Not only the Chacham, everyone has a big problem with it.
I mean, but that's why the Gemara discusses it over a few blocks.
The Megillah is really, it's for adult. It's not, not for children to read the story of the Megillah. And Chanukah, our other very great holiday that we celebrate with great pride and joy, it's also illegal. The leaders, the Yehuda HaMakabi, the whole Shmoneh Esrei, Davin, Bimei Matisyo, Ben Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, Chashmonoi, Uvon, Uvonav, Kesha'om, Dalei Malchus, Yovan, Rasha, they fought battles. If they fought battles, Giboydim Yad Chaloshim, V'ram Biad Ma'atim, Utzmim Biad Ha'im, V'shom Biad Tzadikim, V'zeidim Biad Oizkim, who are the leaders? Shevet Levi? This is a direct, blatant, open violation of Torah law. Lo Yosur Shevet B'Yehuda U'Mechoykek M'Bein Raglav. What's going on with our holidays? Our two rabbinic holidays are very, very troublesome. Now, even though they're very troublesome, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, so this is the question of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, this whole Jewish. So yet, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, they want to suggest, and it's the very, very controversial, I don't even remember all the names who say this, very controversial Mahalach, the reason why Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not give Chanukah its own Mesechta is because the whole miracle we celebrate it, but it's connected Kol HaTorah Kula. because it was done through very strong, powerful Jewish leadership that was illegal. So you don't go and give weight to something that is illegal. Yes, we celebrate it, we make a bracha on the menorah, and we daven Shemona Esrei Al HaNisim, but don't go get carried away. If that is really true, if that's the real reason why Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not give its own mesechta, then likewise, Kol Shekein, he should not have given Purim its own mesechta. Because Purim is even worse. Intermarriage. To celebrate a miracle and make a mesechta out of an event that the center of the whole story is intermarriage. So are you talking? So the answer is a very difficult answer to say. The reason why he didn't give him the mesechta is because they took away the malchus. To say it's personal, because Rabbeinu HaKadosh was from Sheva Yehuda, that's very, very, very weak. It's not a personal matter over here. Rabbeinu HaKadosh from Sheva Yehuda, he didn't like that someone took away his malchus. To make it personal, that's very, very schwach. You want to say that the miracle is an illegal, was done through illegal means? Okay, gives it a little more credibility to say such an answer. But you got to be consistent. If you don't want to go make a Masechta Chanukah because it was done illegally, so you certainly shouldn't have a Masechta Megillah, which is 10 times worse. Intermarriage is much worse. So it didn't hold back Rabbeinu HaKadosh from making Masechta Megillah, so it shouldn't hold them back from making Masechta Chanukah. So then we go back to the drawing board. Why there's no Chanukah? Here, in this pasuk, it's interesting, we're coming, winding down here in this section. We start off with Shushan, which many Mepharshim, they tie into Purim. And here David says at the end, Li Menashe, if I'm Ma'oz Roshi, Yehuda Mechaikiki. Yehuda is my lawgiver, which touches upon the pasuk of Lo Yosu Shebi Yehuda Umechaikik. Mi bein raglav. Mechay cake is belongs only to the Malchus of Yehuda. All right, let's now go. We did the Rashis. Okay, we did the Rashis. And let's look a little bit at the Radak first. Okay, we'll go back a little bit to the Radak. These are very heavy psukim. Heavy, heavy stuff here. Let's look at Pasik Ches in the Radak. Let's do the Radak just a little bit. Radak pasuk ches back on page 525. Radak says Elokim diber b'kodesh diber b'ruach hakodesh lios mamlechas yisraeli. Same thing as Rashi and the Mitzudos. Hashem has spoken b'ruach kodesh. The Radak leaves out through his prophets that the malchus will come to me. Now we turn to page 527. Ve'eloiza b'mamlechti. I will rejoice in my malchus. And because Avner, now this is another whole controversial thing, a whole big topic in the Sefer Shmuel, after the death of Shaul, who became the Melech? So if we wouldn't know, we would say it was, of course, David. No, not so pashit. It goes to Shaul's son. His name was Ish-Boishes. So here, the Radak is really enhancing, is really giving these psukim a lot of flavor by making this point. What is David over here so obsessed with? I'm going to rejoice in the Malchus. Li Gilad, V'li Menashe. What's all this about? That David over here, it's my Malchus. Of course it's your Malchus. What's the big deal? The big deal is that someone was trying to take it away. Besides Shaul, besides that Shaul lost out. One second over here on the computer, it keeps going on. Besides that Shaul, besides the fact that Shaul, you know, when Shaul was, after Shaul died, oh, so you think now the problem is over. Shaul died, people always imagine in their minds, I have this problem. And if only we can solve this problem, Oh, it's smooth sailing. And finally the day comes when the problem is solved, only to trigger even a bigger problem in its wake. And then you say to yourself, you know, halavai, we had the original problem and didn't have this new problem. When you solve one problem, it usually creates even a bigger problem. And then you wish you had the original problem, because that you're able to deal with, and the newer problem you can't deal with. You can't deal with. So that's exactly what happens over here. David is running away his whole life from Shaul. That's all these years. Shaul's trying to kill me, Shaul kill me, and he's running into this cave and into that cave. You know, David had a relationship with Shaul. He was his son-in-law. He was Aiden. David had a shviga. David had a relationship with Shaul. He's married to his... So David, you know, he had a mahalich. And then when Shaul died, who's now his... So, oh, finally he's gone. Oh, now I'm the melech. No, you're not. You got even a bigger problem. You have Shaul's son, Ish Boishes. And you have no relationship with him. And Ish Boishes will kill you in cold blood. You don't have no relationship. You have even a bigger problem now. So David's reaction, according to the Radak, this whole section, this is a whole fascinating insight, is David's expression in dealing with the bigger problem that has been created after the original problem has been solved. The original problem was Shaul. Problem solved. He died. Guess what now? Oh, now it's not smooth sailing. There's a successor. I never saw that coming. I thought after Shaul dies, the whole Klal Yisrael will accept me. No, they don't accept you. There's always people that don't like, don't want. They were mamlich Ish Boishes. He's the new melech, not you. Ish Boishes. Who's him? Who is he? He's Shaul's son. Uh-oh. And he's not going to have Rachma. You always see the machlokes, you know, the Gedolei Yisrael, when they fought about, you know, the Koitzoi Shel Yud, and the Hasidim of these Gedolim, they fight for murder, they go for blood. Okay, the differences between the Gedolim are Daka Shebedaka. And when they're gone, and they leave over their Talmidim and their Hasidim, they'll kill each other. They're mamash Shvichastam, they'll kill each other. So Ish Boishes is not going to have Rachmanis on David. And David will be, according to the Radak, he's eating this whole new element. He's coming to this over here as Ulefi Shehimlich Avneris Ish Boishes Ben Shol Al Eretz Agilad V'Yal Ephraim Lefich Omar. So who was the one that also opens up a whole new insight? Why Dafka, these two locations? Because these two locations were the stronghold of David's new nemesis, Ish Boishes. That's why David is specifically citing Gilad and Sukkos, because this is where he had it, the people were loyal. These were his red states, or his blue states, whatever, purple states, whatever color you want to call it. This is where they were loyal. Okay, to the people here who are online, I want to apologize to you. I know that the internet is going on and off, on like a yo-yo, and
I think they're working on
it. They're working on it. They should have finished this in 5 minutes. I don't know what they're working on over here.
5 minutes to take the machinery down. Right?
I don't know what they did. Okay, I connected over here to my phone now. If it's connected to my phone, it should be stable. I don't know why my phone is not so stable. Okay, we'll see what happens. We'll monitor it.
So he put it point here.
The Malchus will in the future be divided. So according to that, it means in the meantime, I'm still in charge, because this is the stronghold of Yeravam ben Nevat. Yerom ben Nevada came from Shevet Ephraim. So these areas, Ephraim, Ma'oz, Roshi, in the meantime, I'm the Baal HaBos of Shevet Ephraim. I know, I still be Ruach HaKodesh, that my grandson is going to lose it. Shlomo, Rechavam, Rechavam's Malchus would be split, that Yerovam ben Nevat, who came from Shevet Ephraim, would take with him the 10 Shvatim, and where he came from, that's Ephraim. So, and who's loyal to Ephraim? The neighbor of Ephraim was Gilad. So he's saying, David says, listen, in the meantime, I know it's coming, but in the meantime, Ephraim is Ma'oz Roshi, they're mine. And Gilad, that's their neighbor, their closest neighbor, they're mine. And Yehuda will always be mine. Yehuda, Michai, Kiki, they're always going to be mine. There will always be a Malchus of the 2.5 Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin. That's what we learned before. But obviously, there are so many more parish will be here. Over here, we're learning a new parish here. And over here, he's referring to the time, the 2.5 years after Shaul died, where Shaul's Malchus was really transferred to Ish Boishas. And the pride, the strength of my, it's an expression. It means it's my pride, my glory. My glory. It's my pride. Different perushim. According to one way, I'm going to fight hard. The mitzvahs, it seems that according to the mitzvahs, that this Ephraim was under attack from the Palishtim or some other enemy. That territory of Eretz Yisrael was under constant attack. And David here is pledging that he's going to fight for his life to support them and to make sure to fend off the enemy. That was one pshat. Another pshat, like we just said, Ephraim is that he's speaking up in Ruach HaKodesh. What's going to happen in the next generation, in the time of Rechavam, Yeravam ben Nevat, who is from Shevet Ephraim, will split. They're going to depart. They're going to leave the Malchus. They're going to make their own Malchus. So David is saying, in the meantime, until that happens, it's mine. It's my pride and joy. I know it's coming down one eye. Nothing I can do about that. But in the meantime, it's mine. And likewise, Gilad, it seems that Gilad and Manasseh were also neighbors to Ephraim. And they're the first ones to go along with Yerovam ben Nevat to split. In the meantime, they're mine. I have no problem from them. And Yehuda, that will always be mine. Because even when the Malchus splits, there will always be a Malchus of Yehuda, which remains till the end of, remains all the way until the Chorban. Now, but the Radak is giving a nupshat. Radak over here is saying that these locations that are specified over here, Gilad, Menashe, and Ephraim, what was unique and special about them? This was the stronghold of Ish Boishas. And David over here is saying this, I got Nutzaris now. Shaul died, and I thought Li Amalucha, and I see there are three states that don't want to vote for me. Three states that are giving me trouble. They don't want to go, they don't want to go with me. They want to go with Ish Boishas. So David says, don't worry, I have emuna in Hashem. Shmuel told me in the name of Hashem that the Malchus will ultimately come to me. I'm gonna wait it out. Eloiza, I will rejoice in my Malchus. Okay, Rashi, we have a different perushim what that meant, but now I say, and as far as Ish Boishas, he's a troublemaker, don't worry. The day will come when his Malchus, what he has, will come to me. His stronghold, his territory, where he's in control, he will ultimately pass, and the Malchus, Ligilot, V'li Menashe, V'Ephraim Ma'oz Roshe, Yehuda Mechagukai.
Was also Yosef.
Also part of Shaul. Okay, Yosef of Yosef. Okay, very good. Right, that's correct. Shechem, you're right. And Sukkos, I guess, also is in that territory. I guess this whole territory is all the territory that was the stronghold of Shaul and Ish Boishas. That's what it seems according to the Radak. Levi, go back to the Radak. This is a very fascinating Radak, because what Radak over here is saying, Rashi doesn't allude to it at all. Rashi and the Mitzudos, there's not a remes to this Mahalach, a whole new Mahalach. It's a very, very beautiful Mahalach that opens up what's going on over here. Ulefi Shehim Lech Avner Es Ish Boishas Ben Shol Al Eretz Agilad Ve'al Ephraim. And he says, he cites you the Pesukim where you can find this to be a fact. Lefichach Omar Elokim Dibe Bekotshei Ki Al Yisrael Emloich. The Ganz Klal Yisrael. And don't worry now that there's a delay in me getting the malchus because of Yishpoishes. V'chein osa shehim li chani ala kol v'atam achalka v'amadei roi tzolema sha'akol yeh b'rishusei. I will divide the radak is saying that everything is going to ultimately come to me. Okay, next radak, li gilot, to me is gilot, acha shezochar Ephraim v'zochar kol Yisrael, v'yapratim shezochar heim l'shevet Yosef. V'heim kol Yisrael zula shevet Yehuda. So he's thinking that until now, the whole Yehuda is obviously that's the division. That was each boy. Let's also further. V'tam Yehuda mechayki ki hamelech yikar mechayki. A king is called a lawgiver. K'moy u'mechayki mi bein ragav. V'amalchus mi Yehuda. The malchus belongs to the Yehuda. K'loy marsh Yehuda shali hu becholais. Yehuda will always be mine. And indeed, there was a malchus of Yehuda that went to the Churban. V'hoyil v'Hashem yis ale. Him lichani, Hashem, who is exalted, declared me and appointed me to be king. I'll call Yisrael. L'toiv lohem osa k'dei lahatzilam al yodi miyad shoisehem. It's for their benefit. I will redeem them and save them from their plunderers. V'yavol pishabo ato ha'ivim be'aretz v'ani melech. Even though the enemies have come in the land, v'ani melech lo yamidzeh. It's only temporary. Even though right now things are not so good, the enemy has penetrated, this is only temporary. Ki ani b'ritzoino kel yisale achazek aleihem, I will overcome my enemies, v'asimem mirmas raglai, I will step on them. V'zeo sh'amar moyav sirak al-psuk l'irwan v'drosh, kesha asid ha-kadosh baruch l'kabetz golios b'rishoino hu mekabetz gilot, l'fi sh'gomlu chesed anshe yovish gilot im sha'ul v'im banov. They did chesed with him. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nes Lachem Sukhadam La'asad Lava Ki Rishon Ani Mekabetz Gilad Shnemar Li Gilad. Okay, so think of another idea, and maybe this is in the Likud Medrash, is that La'asad Lava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Geula will start with Gilad. Gilad and Menashe, in reward, the people of Gilad were they helped Shaul. When Shaul was Melech, They helped him fight off his enemies, and in reward for their kindness, we're describing over here the Geula, and we're specifically mentioning certain locations, which obviously needs much more interpretation. And Hashem is saying they will merit the Kibbutz Goliyos first. There's something to this concept which we don't understand. There's always a lot of discussion about Techias HaMesim. And who will merit Techias HaMesim first? And many of the Sram, they tell us that Techias HaMesim will span, you know, these little mystical things which we really know nothing about, but the era of Techias HaMesim will span a very long period of time.
Right.
And some people will merit to be resurrected earlier, and some will only merit to be resurrected at the end. And obviously the ones that come back earlier will have much more benefit, whatever this is all about. And in fact, I was reading recently is that different Sifrei Kabbalah, I think they tell us that I think next year is the beginning of Techias HaMesim. There's some, all these different Kabbalah. Oh, you know who talks about this? Alexander Hull, that I keep on quoting from that Sefer. He has very fascinating things, and he talks about different Zmanim, and he makes all these Cheshvan. I think it's next year. Next year, these numbers mean obviously nothing, okay? Obviously, they mean nothing, but they're an interesting thing, you know, here are these calculations. And there's supposedly a long era of Techias HaMesim. And who goes first? Who goes first? People that are buried, people want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, they don't have to go through Gilgal, rolling, their bones don't have to roll. What does that mean? What does that mean exactly? So I think someone explained it means time. It means if you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, your resurrection is going to be earlier. If you're buried in Chutz Li'aretz, Gilgal doesn't just mean your bones have to roll in the earth. It means there's a process of the Techias HaMesim rolling out. And the people that are buried in Chutz Li'aretz, they're at the end of the line. Their resurrection occurs later. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's like, you know, it has to start, it doesn't have it all in one shot. It starts one somewhere, and it's contagious, and it travels. The process is megalgel. Gilgal atzamais. What? It gets, what?
Kiddush Lebona.
Yeah.
Also starts from Eretz Yisrael, and his man goes, continues.
No, I think it's all over. What do you mean? It's one Levana. It's one Levana in the same place the whole world. We just announced the Zman. The Zman that we announced is the Moilid is in Eretz Yisrael, but it's the same Levana. The Levana is the same Levana. When you say Gilgal Mechilais, or Gilgal Atzamais, so the common man says it means that the bones in Chutz Le'aretz are going to roll to Eretz Yisrael. Just the opposite. It's the opposite. Gilgal Atzamos means is that the koyach of Tchiyas HaMesim is going to roll from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Le'aretz. And the koyach of the bones resurrecting is going to have to wait until that power, until that shefa of Tchiyas HaMesim rolls from the source, Eretz Yisrael, all the way to Chutz Eretz. Which direction? Gilgal Atzamos. The bones are going to roll. So we like to put the word Atzamos as a description as connected to the word Gilgal. The bone, the meaning of the bones. The Iker word is the bones. And the bones are going to roll. They're going to roll in the direction from Chutz Le'aretz. They're going to roll, all the way to Eretz Yisrael. I'll be very scared seeing bones rolling on the ground. You see on the highway, all these bones rolling. Where are they going to go? The BQE? Go to the Atlantic? Yeah.
The question is, what happens to the people who are alive at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim?
Who knows? Then we don't know nothing. This is just... Wow, at what age, when a person is Tchiyas HaMesim, what age in their life are they going to be resurrected? Person dies when they're 90... We don't know nothing. We don't know anything of here. Let's not get involved. But there is a concept of Gilgal of where it doesn't mean the tsar of Gilgal Mechilos Gilgal Atzamos. We taught in Cheder means the bones are gonna roll, and when the bones are rolling, it's painful. Really? That's what it says. It says.
What bones?
That's not what it means exactly. It means delay. Delay, that the tzar, the neshama, is aware that the zman, he giya hazman. And no one enjoys standing on a train platform waiting for the train. No one likes to stand and wait. And you know, like plumber. We know the joke? The plumber is a mashal from the Mashiach.
He's coming.
You know he's coming. Yeah. You just don't know when. You just don't know when the plumber is coming. No one, especially in this day and age, you have to wait? You're going to wait? People don't have patience to wait for nothing. Wait in a line in a store to buy a challah roll, to wait for the train, to wait for anything you got in your mind, a few minutes. So could you imagine what it's like? The neshama is made aware. Guess what? Tchiyas HaMesim has begun. Okay, let's go. Pack up. Let's go back down to earth. No, you got to wait. You got to wait your turn. What does that mean? I don't know what I'm talking about. And if you're living in Chutz Le'aretz, you have to wait for the Gilgal Atzamos, the concept, for the koyach of the dead bones to resurrect, to reach your location. And if you're in Chutz Le'aretz, you're far away. You're not in the front of the line. I don't want to have the tsar of waiting. Memela, I'll be buried in Eretz Yisrael. I'll cut the line. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. I'll be resurrected first. Who's in such a mila to be first? Maybe you'll be scared of your mind to get up first. The world's not prepared for you. Is the world prepared today for Tchiyas HaMesim? If Tchiyas HaMesim would happen right now, is the world prepared for it?
Not enough pilots to fly everywhere.
Is the world prepared? Think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make it. Chazal say that Tchiyas HaMesim will happen over time. There's a very big benefit for that, because if it happens slowly, okay, it happens over 100 years. Okay, so we can plan. We see it. So right now, the first person that comes back to life, come stay in my house. There'll be a fight. Could you imagine? If someone would come back alive today, people will be fighting. I want you to stay in my home. I want you to tell me what's going on in Shemayim.
People will drop dead from fright.
That's right, exactly. But once already, this has been going on for 50 years, and every other day someone else comes up, no one's going to be afraid. And the world will be in a state of preparation to be mekabel them. To mekabel them. You see what goes on in China? Did you see what went on in China when COVID broke out? They built, literally, overnight, cities. These temporary hospitals. You got to see these videos. It's not to be believed. They built to accommodate 100,000 people. Within a few days, they had already accommodations for a hospital for 100,000 people. They work nonstop with cranes and you name it. It's not to be believed what they're able to do in a few days. How's the world going to prepare for that? Who know? This is all, we're talking nonsense over here. But there is a principle of Zman. And who says it's so good to be the first? I remember when during the pandemic, so they were talking about a vaccine is going to come out. A vaccine is on the verge. It's coming soon. So I asked a very smart person. I don't know, he's very street smart, this person. I said, you can take the vaccine? So he says to me, he doesn't know. This is before anything. This is before, you know, all the politics. So he says, I don't know. I says this, but, you know, not everyone has to be from the Asara Rishonim. Not everyone has to be from, oh, wait, see what happens. A couple of people. If it's good for them, it'll be good for me. I'm not going to be from the Asara Rishonim. So, Tchias HaNesim is a traumatic experience in this world. Do you want to be from the Asara Rishonim? Do you really want to be from the Asara Rishonim? No one knows how this works. Okay, Yaakov Avinu did. Do we want to be from the Asara Rishonim? I don't know. These are all, they're very frightening things. But you get a taste of this from this Radak who says, there's a Seder of Geula. It doesn't happen like that in one shot to the entire world. There is a process. And the process is, first comes Gilad, then comes Menashe, then comes Ephraim, and then Yehuda. You know why? There's a reason why. There's a reason why. And when it says, doesn't mean 5 minutes. It could mean over here, Lee, Gilad, Lee, Menashe. This could mean over a 50-year period, over a 100-year period. We don't know what this means, but he does tell us that there is a process to Geula. And some people get it earlier, some get it later. Es hakol osa yofe bi'itoy. Everything in its right time. All right, take a short break. Today I want to learn about a crash course in Bidikas Chametz. In honor of Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Today is the yard site of Nadav and Abihu.
That's correct. That's the biblical may. This is the only time you set a yard side that you can talk and prove is true.
Well, nobody knows where to bury it. Where they bury it.
Aaron, I credit Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Some hold you a lot of fast today. You should fast today. A Chosan. I think a Chosan fasts today. Even though it's Rosh Chodesh. Even though it's Rosh Chodesh, because it is, it's mentioned. And he fasted? And he fasted, you see? Case in point. Maiserav. It's a bittersweet day. Have a good day.
Very blocked. So the data you can get through, the call there. I finally. They're working on a request.
You want to give a first meal? Hey guys, ooh, I don't want to be that loud. Hey guys, I hope everyone has sent in a contribution for Rabbi Levine for Pesach. If not, get on the YI Midwood and get it done, okay?
Says kosher Pesach, but it's not.
But it's not.
There's a recall on it. After Pesach, I'll give you the money back.
Just sell it with the comments.
If you sell it with the chametz, are you allowed to eat it on Pesach?
Mr. Gatlin owned his norm for me, and he, when he was bringing to
work,
he
was busy.
He sold some more out of the label.
So how do you do?
Oh, a lot of things.
Do you how?
They would build the product until they realized that it paid for them to make the product. They would buy, Hollywood would go and buy a box company and buy and prop it up because he would have to prop it up, he invested in it. And then they would order enough boxes for him to make sure that they had enough business and they could very quick go and
operate
it into Alley Processing and make their own boxes. He went out on his own. He tried to go out on his own and bump the alley.
It's not his memory.
And he fired him.
No.
He was the Hassan.
They
wouldn't find him. Also,
I don't know the answer.
You know, but he...
No, Shlomi.
Shlomi.
Shlomi. Okay, let's begin. Okay, let's begin.